Be fluid. Don't be arthritic in your thinking, in your faith. All right? When God does a new thing, move with him. Glory to God. We spoke on last week. Just one thing. Across the door. Well, something behind, eh? God does things behind closed. Yes, remember that now? Hey, then the old tick, 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 the cog's starting to kick in. God does the miracle behind closed doors. Do you believe that? He will get you alone to do what he needs for you to do. And I believe we have to be men and women of the Spirit like never before. Who agrees with me? The Bible says, many as led by the Spirit, they are called the sons of God. I want to talk about this morning about a Spirit-led life. Being filled, being led, live and walk. And four things. Filled, led, live, walk. Filled, led, live, walk. If you are not filled, you will never be led. If you are not led, you'll never walk. God give us the greatest example of Spirit-filled life in his Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, we've got great men. There's been great men in the eons. There's been great men over the ages, great men of faith over the ages. But no one compares to Jesus in a Spirit-led life. Amen. And as us that have to bear the image of his Son, he's the pattern son, we're to bear that image. There's no greater person to learn how to live a Spirit-led life than Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the ultimate example of a Spirit-led life. There's many great men and many great women that have led Spirit-led lives, but nothing in comparison to Jesus. Amen. So you can read all their testimonies and you read all their books. That's wonderful. But I encourage you to start reading this book, The Greatest Testimony of All, and listen to him and see what he's done. Because what he's done and what he's shown us and how to do it will teach us how to get in the presence of the Father and have victory. Amen. And victory doesn't always look like victory. He was Spirit-led, but he was led into a wilderness. He wasn't led into a party. He was led up to a mountain to fight a devil. Amen. He was led into a wilderness all by himself and he was hungry. Amen. So sometimes your victory is not what you think. And sometimes being Spirit-led is not what you can imagine. Sometimes he will lead you into a fight. But you better be Spirit-filled before you... Because you need the mind of the Spirit. Amen. Because the tempter will come. The tempter will come. And he will come. And he will try and seduce hungry places. And all temptation is common to man. Is that true? All temptation is common to man. So with temptation, God always gives me a way of escape. With temptation, there's always a way of escape. I've just got to choose with the mind of the Spirit to take the way of escape. Not like Adam, not like the woman. That choose not the way of escape, but succumb to the temptation. I want to start off saying this, temptation is not sin. The fulfillment of temptation is. If temptation is sin, Jesus sinned. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So temptation is not a sin. It's what I do with the temptation that's the sin. Amen. Sorry, I should rephrase that. If I succumb to temptation, that's the sin. Amen. If I overcome the temptation, that's a victory. Are you with me? Turn with me, please. Oh, this is great. Anyone got a computer with Windows in it? Have you got that? I've been bugged for the last week by Microsoft to update my Windows. I did. Updated Windows. Now my computer doesn't work properly. So I rushed here this morning to print off my notes, and it's chopped off half my notes. Okay, you got a slide there, son? Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as led by the Spirit, they are a Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Galatians 5:25 says this, "If we live in the, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So we can be led, we can live, and we can walk. Luke 4 verse 1 and 2 says, "And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And those days he ate nothing, and afterwards that they had ended, he was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days. After 40 minutes, saying, 'We're hungry, or we're starving.' He did 40 days. He did 40 days. Now I want to say something about Jesus this morning. Jesus is all man and he's all God. I'm going to reiterate that. He is all man and he is all God. Jesus showed us a Spirit-led life. In fact, if you go to the very book of Luke and start from chapter 1, you will see a progression from family to singularity to ministry. His whole family was blessed. Amen. His whole family, even before John the Baptist, which was his cousin, 6 months older than Jesus, he was filled from his mother's womb with the Holy Spirit. Is that what the Bible says? There is something about when a parent and a mother and father love on the Lord and are submitted to the Lord that God blesses the house. Amen. There is, even from the mother's womb, the child can be filled with the Spirit. Grandfathers, mothers and fathers, if you've got up-and-coming children, and even if your children are just married or they're thinking about having children, you can prophesy that they be filled from the womb with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Filled. I'm preaching now and I'm prophesying over my great-grandchildren. Not just my grandchildren. My great-grandchildren. Now they'll be full of the vigor and the vitality and the life of God right from the womb. Amen. They'll hit the ground running. Amen. One must be filled to be led. One must live it to walk it. One must be filled, live and walk. One must be filled to be led. One must live it to walk it. Filled, led, live, walk. Jesus, the pattern son from whom the Father desires all of us to bear an image of. All of us. He shows us a process of a life that is Spirit-led. And we want to go through that this morning. I want to equip you that you would walk a Spirit-led life, that you will fill purpose, destiny, and above all, bear an image of God that will reflect the glory of God in this hour and age we're living in. I believe Jesus once said for his church that we live a Spirit-led, victorious life. Amen. Not afraid of my wilderness. Not afraid of my temptation. Knowing if I'm Spirit-led, I have the power to overcome. Amen. Luke 2, verse 47-52. Let's read that. 47-52. Luke. You're going to have to use your Bibles, guys, because I haven't got it all up. 47-52. Luke 2. Says this. Now this is when Jesus was 12 years old. Jesus was 12 years old. His mum and dad went on a trip. He got left in Jerusalem. They kept going on. A day later they realized that he wasn't there and they went, great parents. But mind you, has anyone ever done that? Left their kids somewhere where they shouldn't have? Anyone? I've been to the shops, had your chair, been to the shops, packed the car. Somehow John wasn't with us. I don't know where John went. And we drove home. And I went, where's John? So we drove back and there he is just looking inside the window, minding his own business. Anyway, In fact, that we did that twice, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Don't justify yourself. So sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking questions, this is Jesus, and all who heard him, Jesus, were astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." They wouldn't have got anxious if they did the right thing. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Do you not know I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke of them. Jesus, when Jesus was a boy, when Jesus was born, he took on the form of a man. And I really want to push this hard. He took on the form of a man, and therefore he actually allowed his deity to be submitted. He didn't walk in his deity at all as a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. In fact, if he walked in his deity, he'd never have hung on a cross. He said, "I could have called down 12 legions of angels like that." He knew he was God. He knew he was God Almighty, manifest. He knew that. But he had to do something in the flesh. So all temptation had to come under subjection to him, that you and I could have the same victory. Amen? If he walked in his deity, I could not have the same victory. He had to come in his man, so therefore he was clothed in flesh, and he went through situations, even at 12. So when he was at 12, and so they were amazed at the scriptures that were coming out of his mouth, they were amazed at the wisdom of him. It wasn't because he was getting downloaded from heaven about the Old Testament. It wasn't that at all. He got it because, guess what? He read the word. Are you with me? First things that you have to solidify if you want to have a spirit-led life, you must read the word. Amen? You must read the word. He had to continue to grow. He had his spirit being in the word just like you and I. And if I want to grow, I must be in the word. They marvel at his wisdom. The word will create in you a hunger for his presence and a fulfillment for his purpose. The word does something within your man. The word is spirit, and the word is truth, and the word is life. And it will cause something to be birthed in your spirit man that nothing else can. You've got to be a student of the word. You've got to read the word to get life. It feeds your soul. Amen? Jesus knew this, and he needed to read the word. In fact, he quoted in Luke chapter 4, I believe, he quoted Isaiah. He said, "This has been fulfilled," 4:18. "This has been filled right now," when he said, "The Spirit," what's that one? No, not that one. Luke 4:18. Oh, yeah, it is. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you." He said, "This has been fulfilled today." So he was prophesying and bringing that he was God, yet he was also all man. You've got to understand that he had overcome all things just like you and me. He didn't have exemption. If he had exemption, that means the devil has allowed my man, my flesh man, that I cannot control. Jesus had to overcome all temptation. Did he overcome all temptation? He did. And yet he was just like you and me. Sitting. He was spirit-filled. Are you with me? If you are spirit-filled, You can defeat temptation. If you are not filled, you will fall into temptation. And that's why Jesus was alone. Turn to the next one, son. Luke 3:21-22 says, "And when all the baptized," this is the second time Jesus was filled, "when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was baptized, and while he" what? "While he" who prayed? Jesus prayed. So Jesus had developed a prayer life as a young man, had developed a pattern as a young man, and he was now what? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove, and it remained upon him. Amen? If you want something to grow and remain upon your life, you must have a style of reading and a lifestyle of prayer. You've got just not to know the book. You've got to know the author of the book. You must come into a place of knowing the Father, of goodness of the Father, of knowing the authority of the Father, of knowing the power of the Father, of knowing the mercy of the Father, knowing the grace of the Father, knowing the love of the Father. You've got to know Father. You've got to know Father God, and we learn that in a place of prayer. By the way, next Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're having a prayer meeting here. 7 p.m., prayer meeting here. We're going to pray for our nation. Amen. You better believe we are in a battle. Glory to God. So in his obscurity, he developed a prayer life and a relationship with the Father. He grew in spirit and in favor with God and man by being in the Word and the Word being in him. The Word being in him. At 12 years old, it said that he immediately submitted to his parents. Obedience is one of the greatest lessons through the Word. Obedience. He was obedient to those who were over him. He submitted to that obedience and he learned through prayer and through the Word, God's ways and God's methodologies. So he had a battle ahead of him, for he was called for such a time as... You have been called for such a time as... Do you believe that? You've been called by name. You've been plucked out. You've been named by him for a purpose and a reason. But he needs you and I in our obscurity to have a prayer life and have a reading pattern so he can fill us with the Spirit in due course for when the battle comes. And it will come. Not if it comes, it will come. You are filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. Next one, please. How does one get filled with the Spirit? Luke chapter 13 says one can ask, fill me, Jesus, help me. Help me. Grace me. Lord, I need your Spirit. I need to be filled afresh. And immediately you start asking those questions, God was talking to you about issues that might be hindering the filling. Unforgiveness, resentment, backbiting, bitterness, anger, gossip, whatever. God will place his finger on those things to say, I can't fill you because you're going to leak like a sieve. He will put his finger on those things and cause you to come into relationship with him to a point where you bow your knee in obedience to his word. Don't forget, you've got to read the word, but the word's got to get inside of you. Then you've got to walk the word. Then you've got to live the word. Amen. So in that whole process, God is training you. See, Jesus was in obscurity. He was a carpenter. He was nothing. He was nothing comely to look at. He was just an ordinary man, ordinary person that just looked like you and I. He didn't have a halo around his head glowing in the dark. He didn't have any of that. No. He didn't have blue eyes. Right? And he wasn't 6'1". In fact, it says he was uncomely. Means nothing to look at. It was nothing to look at. So this whole process, Jesus had him in this place of God, Father had his place in isolation, training him, just in the midst of the wilderness, training him to know the voice, training him with the word, training him in prayer, training him till the day of his baptism, and then the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and it came down in a bodily form like a dove, and it remained. Hallelujah. First time, it remained, and he was full of the Spirit. And immediately, the Bible says in Luke 4, verse 1, it says, and the Spirit, the old King James says, drove him into the wilderness. Did Jesus understand what it meant by or experience poverty? Did Jesus ever experience poverty or prosperity? What did Jesus experience, poverty or prosperity? Prosperity. Poverty or prosperity. Which one did he experience? He experienced both. There's always enough money in his purse. And his robe was that wealthy, they drew lots for it. Amen? Did Jesus experience problems or peace? Both. Did Jesus experience hardship or happiness? Both. So if it was good enough for Jesus, guess what? You get into the wilderness. And sometimes, you won't be so prosperous. Just sometimes, you won't have peace. You'll have problems. Sometimes, it won't be all happiness, happy, clappy. It'll be hard. But guess what? If you're full of the Spirit, you're an overcomer. If you're not being filled with the Spirit, guess what? The temptation. Three temptations. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Finds himself in a wilderness, yet the wilderness was the will of God. Are you with me this morning? I do not want to give you a picture of false Christianity. False Christianity, say this, he'll always do good to you all the time. Well, he does, even in your wilderness, even going through a battle. He'll always make sure that, you know, you're going to be right all the time, you're not going to have a problem. That is not true. You will have problems. You will have issues to overcome. But he has given you the power of the Spirit to what? Overcome. So you can be a witness to him. And you can be a witness to the world saying, guess what? Been there, done that. That's why Jesus had to overcome all temptation. Because if I go to him and say, well, you don't understand, Jesus, I was tempted by this, he's going to say to me, been there, done that. And I walked as a man. Amen. He wants this to bear witness to us. So when we're full of the Holy Ghost, we are becoming image makers, image bearers, with a witness and a testimony for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Being tempted is not sin. Fulfilling the temptation is sin. He was hungry. Is that what the Bible says? He was hungry. Guess what? The devil will come to try what you are hungry for. First temptation of Jesus. Command these stones to become. What am I eating of? Come on. What is my bread? He says, not so, for I can only live by what every word that proceeds from the mouth of. In other words, he's the one that will feed me. I will allow this flesh. I will allow this flesh to fast. I will flesh to hunger so I can be filled with the Spirit. And sometimes your flesh will crave for things that God doesn't necessarily want you to have. Temptation is so he can take you off the perch. Temptation is to get you out of a mindset of who you are. With that same temptation, he says, if you are the son of... With temptation always comes and tries to bring doubt on your identity in Christ. If you are. Temptation wants to make, wants to devalue you. Temptation wants to cause you to think flesh. And then it tries to condemn you. Then it tries to condemn you. Your flesh will speak to you. Your flesh man will speak to you and say, well, you're mucked up there. And try and condemn you so you don't run back to the arms of the Father. But hear me, Jesus has given me the capacity and all the power. If I have the Spirit in my life, all I've got to do is ask. Then seek the Word. Then pray to strengthen myself so I can hear with a hearing ear and I can follow and do on the authority of the Spirit. Who wants that for their life? Hallelujah. Next one. One can ask. The three temptations, I'll go back to that. Three temptations. The second temptation was kingdom against kingdom. If you're going to write anything down, write this. The second temptation was kingdom against kingdom. He said this, if you bow down and worship me, I will do this. He was the king of the earth. Jesus, the man, was now caught between and betwixt. One king saying this and offering that. The other king's father has decreed this and offering this. Now he was in a fight. Amen? He was in a fight. Kingdom versus kingdom. And with that, you better have the sword of your spirit, which is the word of hallelujah. Jesus only fought the devil with the word of, because it is the sword of the, it is the life of the Spirit. It is the word of God. The word of God is the only thing that will pull, destroy the works of darkness in your life. Not my goodness. Not my goodness. Not what I think. Not what I believe. The word of God. You've got to allow your mouth to be filled with the Word of God. Jesus said we have to ask if we lack. He said, reading the Word and letting the Word of God get into me and directing me, staying filled in the Spirit, developing a prayer life, worship, repentance of sin, worship. Worship is not just singing a song. Worship is a declaration in the heavens. Hear me. Worship is a declaration. When you sing Good, Good Father, you're declaring something in the heavens. It's not a nice song. It's a declaration of the goodness of God. When you start, and please hear me this morning. We need more songs about Jesus. We need more songs about Jesus. Not how I feel. More songs about Jesus. Because it's the power of the name of Jesus that has the authority in every situation. So when you start singing songs about Jesus, singing the goodness of God, singing songs about His majesty and His awesomeness and His greatness and His power, something has been established in the spirit realm. Something's being cleansed in the spirit realm. You're starting to develop a kingdom authority in your household. He was filled. Then he was led. He was led into a wilderness. One needs to be filled to face and overcome the hunger of the enemy's temptations. Otherwise, I will not. You want to give me an example in the Bible of someone that fulfilled the temptation before them? The first Adam. Judas. The first Adam. Did he hear? Did he hear the word? Did he hear the word? Did he walk with God in the cool of the night, in the cool of the day? He was hearing God day and night. But the word was not in him. And all of a sudden, temptation came. Doesn't matter how great you are in the Spirit. I don't care how authoritative you are in the Spirit or how weak you are in the Spirit. You will receive a temptation. And it doesn't have to be sexual. It can be pride. It can be anger. It can be resentment. It can be anything. There'll be temptation. It can be revenge. It can be something you want to whisper to someone so you can just have, you know, the victory. I'm right. The I'm right syndrome. You know, I'll prove that they are wrong no matter what it costs me. You know. While you're chasing your wife around the house and saying, just hold on a minute, hold on a minute, I just want to say this. Or your wife's running around behind you saying, hey, 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 yet? All to be right. Eh? Well, thank God for grace and mercy. That's all I say. Hallelujah. He was filled, he was led into wilderness. One needs to be filled and face and overcome the hunger the enemy tempts you with, and he will tempt you. The third thing he wanted, he says, if you will fall down and worship me. He took him to a top experience, a pinnacle experience, and said, this is all yours. You can have it all. Do you know he's saying that to this church every day? Because, see, if you're not full of the Spirit, there can be despondency in your heart because you're not seeing victory. You're not seeing victory. So all of a sudden, relationship's no longer relationship, it's religion. Your prayer life wanes. Your reading wanes because nothing is happening. Yet all the time, God is trying to glow. So you rely on Him and talk to Him and trust in Him. And then all of a sudden, church folk are leaning on other church folk. Church folk are leaning on a televangelist. Church folk are leaning on the next book. Church folk are leaning on prophecy. And yet all the time, the greatest book that has ever been written is in front of you. That's alive. And it's real, and it's powerful, and it's authoritative, and above all, it's life. And all of a sudden, when we start letting go of that word, and we start reading many other, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with reading a book, and there's nothing wrong with watching a YouTube thing, but if they're your source, there is an issue. There is an issue. Hear me. You have to get in relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ. And above all, you've got to get into fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. My sheep, hear my, and the voice of a stranger they shall not follow. And we're in an hour and age in society where there's going to be great deception. Great deception. Many Christs will come. Are you with me? Luke 4, verse 1 to 13. I've just said that one, the three temptations. Jesus in temptations as a man, not accessing his divine nature or ability or capacity, but in his humanity overcame temptation because he was filled with the Spirit. And he had to do that to show me that it's possible. Jesus had to do that to show. And that makes the more powerful than what it is. He came in his humanity, overcome all temptation. Overcome all temptation to show me that it is possible to live a God-fearing, holy, righteous life before the Father on earth. Amen? On earth. Telling me temptation is not the problem, son. There will always be temptation. There's always going to be temptation surrounding your life. It's what you... Magazines. I was just reading yesterday about in Christianity Today, I think it was, the statistically, the generational change that's happening with children from my generation to my father's generation, where homosexuality and LGBTIQ, whatever it is, all that stuff, 1%. Where you now I'm talking about, this is a thing, church, 1% would say, no, we should have compassion and mercy, we should. And also accept them in and not expect change. The new generation today, young children, 15 to 18, 53% accept the sexual behavior of what's happening in society today. 53%. And the gradualness has occurred because it's spoken of in school and accepted in schools, accepted from a young child, so they think it is normal. And guess what? They're taking away the word normal. They're trying to remove the word normal out of society. There's even companies that are removing the word normal. You will not see normal soon in shampoos. Normal hair. It'll be gone. They're trying to wipe away the word normal. They're trying to wipe away the standard. So all of a sudden, everything is acceptable. But may I say this? There's only one standard. His name is Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whether they like it or not. I don't care if the politician can stand on his head, do a three-point turn. I don't care. What it means is this. The word of the Lord is true and perfect and endures altogether. It will, and everything else, be submitted to it and it alone. I don't care if I'm persuaded. I don't care if you aren't persuaded. It really doesn't matter what you and I think. To think that the finite can change the infinite God. Absolutely ridiculous. God will not change his word. God will not change his word. He won't change his word to suit Matilda. He will not change his word to suit David. He'll expect David and Matilda to change to suit the word. The word is absolute. The word is God. And everything must change the word. Society is getting a bit in a place. And we need to pray for her. Amen? But above all, the church needs to stand up. Temptation will come. Temptations like this. If you deny me, I will deny you. Temptations like this. Do you know the Christ? Hello, Peter. I do not know the man. Temptations like this, that you will survive at all costs. These are the things he's talking about, people. These are the days of it. Where if you want food, and all of a sudden they want you to have a thing on your forehead or your arm, and they say things like this, the temptation. Don't worry. No one will be able to see it. It'll be under your skin. Don't worry about that. The temptation. There's going to be lots of temptations for the church in these days ahead. That's why we must be full of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be full and you've got to stay filled. And it, by reading, by prayer, by fellowship, by intimacy with the Holy Ghost, you've got to be filled. Being tempted is not sinful. Is not sin. He was hungry being tempted. Identity was being attacked. Our identity as a church, as a body of believers, I believe in this hour we're living in, will be attacked. In fact, it's getting attacked every day. It's irrelevant. That thing called the church. Oh, let them play their games over there as long as they don't disturb society. I'm going to tell you, God is raising an army in this hour that there's going to be a shaking. God is raising an army that's going to have a voice. God is raising an army that will have a sword of the Spirit to do battle. God is raising an army. I'm telling you now, there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There's going to be a reaping of a harvest before the great day of the Lord. And we're going to see souls saved, but we're going to see great challenges and temptation. Because with the souls being saved, there's going to be a great falling away. I know church doesn't want to talk about stuff like this, but we need to talk about it. There will be a great falling away. The love of many will wax cold. There will be a great falling away. Why? Because they've been seduced by the tempter. They've been seduced by temptation. And one of the greatest problems or avenues of the temptation is this. They're not reading and praying and fellowshipping with God. Reading and praying and being in fellowship with God. We must be a people that are seeking His face in this hour like never before. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How's your reading and studying of His Word? Do I watch more YouTube or do I watch more stuff than reading the Bible? Do I seek it or something more than Him? What's my standard in my house? What do my children see? What are my children beholding in my house? Jesus' whole household was blessed. Elizabeth, John the Baptist was blessed. Zacharias was blessed. They said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Mary was blessed. Everyone was blessed in his house because all of a sudden that household sought the will of the Lord. If you want your house, you must be a seeker of God as a child of God. You must be a seeker of God. Seek ye first the. Then all these other. And hear me. God put it all in perspective. They're just things. They're things. Houses are things. I was looking at my house the other day. I'm sitting outside watering my lawn. And I'm looking at it and thinking to myself, yeah, maybe 30 years. I'm on blessed time. This thing will still be standing. It'll still be here. And I'll be in glory. And you've got to remember, it's a thing. It's just a thing. Amen? Please don't put so much emphasis on the things. Seek the kingdom. Because there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Not in things. The hour and the age is approaching where temptation will come. And you're saying, oh God, why am I going through this wilderness? Well, just maybe, God wants you to overcome some temptations in your life and He expected you to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you still breathing? Never too late. Matthew 4:10. When the devil asked Jesus for the worship, he says, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship your God, and only Him shall you serve. And once he realized he couldn't get his worship. Come on. Once he realized he couldn't get your worship, he had to leave. He has to leave. And the next verse says, till a more opportune time, because he will be back. He has to leave. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, your rebuker works. When you're Holy Ghost, your rebuker works. When you're not full of the Holy Ghost, like the seven sons of Sceva, will you do you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the Spirit says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who the heck are you? Because you're known by the what? Spirit. You're known by the Spirit. One of the greatest obstacles of being filled with the Spirit is your mouth and my mouth. We negate God. I'm not going to give you an example. When Gabriel came to Zacharias in the temple, he was doing his lighting the candles and stuff. It says they were righteous and holy before God, Elizabeth and Zacharias. Yet she didn't have what she always wanted. What did she look for? She was craving for a baby, and she couldn't have one. Now, some Christians would see that as a failure, and they'd stop. Yet Zacharias was found still worshiping God. He was still in the house. Amen. After that, the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias and said, Zacharias, your prayers have been heard, and you'll bear a son, and you shall call his name John. Right? And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers. He was a forerunner. Amen. Zacharias says, how do I know this should be so? Well, hello, Zacharias, you've been praying for it. An angel is before you. And immediately the angel says, you shall not speak from this day forward until your son is born. So God had to negate Zacharias' mouth to stop him negating the promise of God. Why didn't he say, Zacharias, you're going to be blind? Or why didn't he say, Zacharias, you're not going to be able to hear? He didn't. He had to negate his problem, which was his mouth. He negated his problem, which was his mouth, because his speaking could have stopped the promise of God. And sometimes in our life, we stop us of the Spirit of God, or the purpose of the Spirit of God, by what we speak. Even though you've been praying for it. Oh Lord, I thank you for my children. I thank you they're really blessed. How's your children going? Yeah. What do you mean? Oh yeah, they're so far back, I can't see them. You've just negated your prayer. You've just stopped this Lord moving. Instead of saying things like that, yet for me in my house we shall serve the Lord. I don't know how God's going to do that, but I believe him. And I'm leaving it at that. I'm not going to try and work it out. I'm not going to go by what I see. I'm just going to believe the Lord. And so you start getting into a place where you start agreeing with the Spirit, and all of a sudden, hello, Elizabeth, the impossible becomes possible, and you birth the promise of the Lord. And he was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. Is my mouth negating any promises this morning? You know you can negate the promises of God for your own life by your own mouth? And I want to really emphasize with men, as the head of the house, when you start negating the promises of God, it flows through the whole house. Because first upon the head, then it flows down through the body. Hello, the oil upon Aaron. Your responsibility is huge. Men, heads of the house, authoritative figure, not authority over your wife, authoritative figure over the kingdom of darkness. Amen. He needs his men to become the mighty men. And needs his women to become the mothers of many. Hello, Rachel. I believe with all my heart this morning, if there's a lack in my life, the Holy Ghost is big enough to fill it. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Holy Ghost is big enough to fill it? Was Jesus filled? Was he filled? Was Jesus full of the Spirit? Did he go through a wilderness? Did he suffer sometimes poverty? Yes. Did he sometimes suffer rejection? Yes. He suffered all that, so you and I do not have to experience the whole thing. I have a way of escape through Jesus Christ. Amen? And all points tempted yet without sin. So he could give me the power over temptation. Are you with me? He said if you need this Holy Ghost, if you need more of him, you just have to ask. We can ask this morning. But if you want to stay filled, no one can do that but you. Come on. Are you with me? No one can. Jesus can sit right next to you. He can be sitting right next to you, but he can't make you open the book. The Holy Ghost can give you shivers, quivers, uppers and downers, aroundabouters, whatever you want. He can do all that. But if you do not seek his face for yourself, he can't do that for you. See, the word gives you a passion, and the word places it within you. That eventually when the book gets inside of you and the word gets inside of you, you'll want to change and turn over the next page. Because you realize it's life. Amen? It's life. And I think one of the greatest battles church folk are getting through today is reading their word. They're struggling. They're hungry. They're hungry. I want to declare this morning the Holy Ghost is here to his table to cause you to eat. Do you want some of his bread? Man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of. Do you want some of his bread? Everlasting bread. A bread that never runs out. That's new every morning. Whether I like it or not, he presents it to me. Hello, children in the wilderness. He presents it to you every morning. It mightn't be what you like to eat. It might be what you want to eat. But guess what? He'll keep presenting it. I remember my dad. This is very off the subject. I was about 17. Mum had cooked a big roast. I ate everything but the Brussels sprouts. Only because I cut a Brussels sprout once and a little worm came out. Right in the middle. It was cooked. Dad goes, protein, son, protein. That's what he said to me. Protein, son, protein. Anyway, so I've not eaten them Brussels sprouts. So in the morning, I went to get some bread out the fridge for toast. I said, there's no bread. He said, that's all right. I said, can I be excused? He goes, yeah, go. Got up, walked out. Next morning, I'm starving. Yeah, 16-year-old kids, you're always hungry. I says, anything to eat? I says, no bread. No bread in the fridge. And there's the leftovers of my dinner. This Brussels sprout was winking at me. I says, is that it? He says, if you're hungry, you'll eat. So I mashed them all up. Drowned them in gravy. I'm talking about breakfast. Drowned them in gravy. Put them in the microwave and heated them up, hoping nothing wriggly would come out. Ate my Brussels sprouts, drowned in the gravy. Sometimes he'll cause you to eat something that sometimes I don't want to eat because it's good for me. Amen. He will present it until you eat it. And if you don't, you'll just have to fast. Who's hungry for more? Who wants the more? He's saying, what to do is ask. If that's you this morning, you just stand with me. Hallelujah. Jesus was all man. He can relate to me. Isn't it so wonderful, his love, that he put his deity to one side to walk as a man, to overcome all things? Because he was spirit. If you're thirsty for the more, say, God, fill me afresh. Help me to read your word. Before we go there, every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you're struggling with your word, if you're struggling reading your Bible, I want you to just lift up your hands before the Lord. Be honest. He knows already. Be honest. If you're struggling reading your Bible, lift up your hands before your God. He wants to refresh and refire you this morning. Father, you see those hands raised this morning, your children. Your children, Father. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to break every wile, assault, hell against them in Jesus' name. That God, you remove every hindrance and you place again a fire within their belly for the word of God. And Father, the revelation of your word be their portion this morning in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now. Father, we curse every assignment of hell. I curse it in Jesus' name. I curse it in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for, Lord, a fresh flow of the river of God to come out of their belly in Jesus' name. A fresh flow of the anointing of heaven in Jesus' name. And Father, the refining fire, Father, birthed within their spirit, man, renewing their soul in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a prayer life, my God, that is not because they have to, because they want to. Lord, out of a loving relationship with you, Lord, they can get lost in your presence. Lord, just loving on you, Father, with a new song of worship. Lord, declaring in their house and declaring in their household, declaring in the house of God, how good you are. That goodness will lead me to a repentance. That, Father, in this hour my sword will be picked up. That I will have the victory in this hour like never before. I thank you for that. And Lord, this morning we come as a body of believers. And you said, if you ask, will not your Father give you the Holy Ghost? How much more would he give you the Holy Spirit? Father, we ask, Father, for a fresh and deep Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh, Holy Ghost. Fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. Oh, God. God, I repent. I repent of anything, my God, in my life that has hindered you. Lord, I come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. And God, I ask you as a son this morning, fill fresh with the Holy Spirit. That God, your word says in Luke, as he came out of the mountain, he came down with power. Father, that we come out of this place in the power of the Holy Ghost to see things changed in our lives, see things changed in my children, see things changed in my family, see things changed in my marriage, see things changed in my household, see things change in my community, see things change school system, see things change, Father, in society, where there's a groaning waiting for a manifestation of your sons. Sons full of the Holy Ghost. We receive it by faith this morning. We receive it by faith. And Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, let tomorrow as I get up, Lord, I receive your mercy. I receive your grace that, Lord, I will reread your Bible. I will read that word that will fill me, that I will be consumed in it and not in the things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord this morning?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good. God is good all the time. Jesus, a young man that said, good master. Remember that? Jesus says, who do you call good? Not as good, but who? God. What Jesus was saying, if you're going to call me good, you better call me God. If you're going to call me good, Jesus knew exactly who he was. You're going to call me good, you better call me God. Just don't call me good. Because there's nothing good before him. Amen. Praise the Lord, he is a good God.